Jane, and welcome back to Gracie Meets. If you're like me, you love all things horror, so I really wanted to get into the spooky spirit and interview someone who's an eerie entrepreneur in the haunting business. Please give a warm yet chilling welcome to Mr. Leonard Pickle, a haunted house designer who's pretty well known in the haunting business. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I was born in New Mexico, raised in Texas, and now I live in Orlando. Graduated Texas A&M University with a degree in architecture. I thought I was going to be a famous architect, but just kind of as a lark, the dorm we did a haunted house as a just kind of a fundraiser to try to raise beer money, and it was very successful. I really had a good time doing it. We did it every year that I was there in college, and then when I graduated, I kind of volunteered with the March of Dimes and did their haunted house. I was apprenticing to be an architect at the time, and I've designed everything from car dealerships to strip malls to hotels to prisons. So I've got a pretty wide range of things that I've designed. But what's interesting is when I was designing stuff as an architect, I would I'd be designing stuff that was all over the world, really. And I never, half the buildings that I designed, I never really had a chance to ever see. And one thing about the haunted house is that the architecture that's involved in creating a scare experience really has more effect on a person, you know, experiencing that architecture than any other form of architecture does. Maybe a church, you know, a Gothic church might have the same effect, but you don't, nobody's designing Gothic churches these days. So the opportunity to create something that not only could I see the people experiencing the attraction, but or experiencing the architecture, but being able to do it locally where I could go and watch them do it was a big part of seeing how my design concepts affect people, you know, firsthand.
So how would you explain your job as a themed attraction designer to a teenager?
Well, my fun way to do that is that I scare people for a living. I utilize, you know, some psychology in architecture school. They taught us how to make a space feel comfortable. So one of the things that I do when I'm designing my attractions is I break all of those rules. You know, a tall, narrow space feels uncomfortable to people. A low, wide space feels uncomfortable. So I kind of put those kind of, you know, architectural faux pas into the design of the attraction to make people feel uncomfortable as they're going through. But you know, my biggest thing is to convince people. A lot of people that are getting into the haunted house industry are artists. You know, they may know how to, you know, build a really cool prop or paint something to make it look old or build some tombstones out of foam, but they don't understand the business side of haunting. You know, a haunted house is a business just like any other, and if you don't make any money, you don't get to play anymore. So you have to really focus on the profitability of a business, you know, or it really doesn't make sense to be in business. And there are a lot of haunted houses in the United States that if they really put a pencil to it and looked at the time that they spend and the money that they actually make, they'd probably be better getting a job at McDonald's. But it's because they love doing it. And so the Entrepreneurs is a company, my company, that really helps people be profitable. You know, if people are struggling and are trying to figure out how to make money, we help them increase their capacity so they can put more people through per hour. You know, we help them increase the scare factor so that they can charge more. We're big promoters of multi-element. So instead of having one giant haunted house, you break the haunted house into multiple smaller pieces so that you can charge more. So we consult with people that are in the industry that are trying to figure out how to make money doing what they're doing. And we really niched ourselves into helping people get started. So we are the go-to company in helping people, you know, start their first time haunted house. And we really, really emphasize treating it like a business. You know, a business is a 3 to 5 year payout. It's not a get rich quick scheme. And we need to make sure that our clients know that before they open their haunted houses so that they're not disappointed.
So I really enjoy horror and being scared. So how do you come up with your ideas? You mentioned like you go against everything that you kind of learned in learning architecture. So how do you kind of think of your ideas?
One of the things I've prided myself on ever since I started doing haunted houses was I was really never was into the operations kind of side. I was the designer, you know, I helped build it, love building it and, you know, creating the experience, but I wasn't always that big on operating. I wasn't not a big actor guy. So I don't like, I'm not that big in getting the costume and makeup and stuff. So one of the things I started doing very early was going around and seeing as many haunted houses as I could, you know, and I'll typically see, you know, 200 haunted houses in October. I travel the countryside, sometimes the world to go see haunted houses that I've heard of that I've heard are really good. And I don't really go in and with the idea of stealing in room designs, but I do love to take something that I've seen at one haunted house and something that I've seen at another haunted house and put them together for the first time. You know, they say that there are no new ideas. There are just two old ideas put together for the first time. I honestly think, you know, it's a different style, it's a different approach, and it just doesn't necessarily fit. So you can't really go around stealing ideas. Some people try to do that, but you can go around and get experiences. And, you know, and one of the things that I have to do, I'm so tainted. I've been through so many haunted houses that there's not much that scares me. So what I like to do is get behind a group of young kids that are going through, so I can watch their reactions as much as you know, watching what actually happens in the haunted house, so I can tell what's frightening and what's not. You know, I do get some ideas from movies, you know, even a TV commercial. One of my best room designs came from a TV commercial at the time. But you have to stay away from licensed characters. We did an all Freddy haunted house one time in New Line Cinema that owns the Freddy character really got angry at us and was yelling lawsuits and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we finally convinced them that we didn't make enough money for them to worry about. But that was the last time I ever used a licensed character. But I do use, you know, settings and, you know, the concept of stuff from movies. So I get a little bit from movies. I tried books. I read a lot of Stephen King when I first started doing this, and I really never got much out of books. It's more of a visual thing. So movies and, you know, just coming up with some cool ideas on my own and just seeing stuff, you know, from everyday life.
Does it take a certain type of person to, like, do this kind of job, or can just anybody do it?
You know, it's one of my things is it's just a haunted house, how hard it can be. The reality is anybody can design a haunted house, but how effective will that haunted house be, you know, on the people going through, and how and capacity is a big thing. A lot of haunted houses run on a very low capacity. It's much easier to scare one person going through a haunted house by themselves than it is, you know, at 500, 1,000 people an hour. Some of the amusement parks have to operate on, you know, even 3,000 people an hour going through the haunted house. And when you have a crowd like that, a conga line of people going through a room design, how do you scare them, frighten them, startle them, do something that they're not expecting, and still be effective? So anybody can design a haunted house, but what is the level of effectiveness? How scary is that really going to be? But I've really boiled haunted house design down into how do I shorten my sight line? You know, I make the pathway very twisty and turny so that you can't see what's coming up ahead of you. You can't see what's happening to the group in front of me. And then how do I shorten my sight line and where do you hide the monster? I always put the character, you know, in something, behind something, you know, popping out low, popping out high. You know, I scare them from the back, from both sides, the top and the bottom. But I never scare them from the front because I don't want to slow them down. I want to push them forward. So it's, you know, there's a lot of aspects that go into it, and it's, but the skills involved are probably, a lot of people come at this from a theatrical standpoint. So they're in theater or they're artists and they know how to you know, create stuff. But my background is architectural. I'm one of the very few people in the industry that comes at it from an architectural standpoint. But the majority of the people that do this are just people that love Halloween and love scaring people, and they open a haunted house and then try to figure it out on the fly, which I don't recommend. There's a lot of potholes that a consultant can help you get around, you know, without, so that it'll save you time and money in the long run. But a lot of people just do it. They just, you know, figure out a place, get money, throw it together on a shoestring, and try to figure out how to make money with it.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of haunted houses, and it really does seem like it takes a certain kind of person, like a special mind to be able to create things like that?
You know, it does. It's interesting because the people on the majority of the people in the haunted house industry are the best people on earth. They really are. You know, they're sharing with their information. They you know, they're just nice people. I think they get all their angst and anxiety out by scaring the crap out of people, and so they don't really necessarily show that. They're probably more well-rounded than the average person who doesn't have that outlet that scaring people, you know, allows them. But it's they're definitely, it's definitely a breed, you know, of people that, I mean, and what's interesting about it, I mean, hunting is almost a disease. I mean, once you get the bug, once you're infected, there really is no turning back. There are haunted houses, you know, haunted house people rarely ever, you know, decide to just stop doing it and go do something else. They, even when they fail, even when their show, you know, loses money and they have to sell everything and quit, it's not very long before they're trying to do it again. So it's a disease, and it's terminal. There is no cure.
So why would a teenager want to think about this job for their future?
Well, I'm not sure there is. I'm not sure there is a good reason for them to do that. And haunting, you know, owning a haunted house, designing a haunted house, there are a lot easier ways to make a living. It really is, you know, it's very seasonal. You know, you're not really, you know, some people think, oh, if I run a haunted house, I can make enough money in 1 month of working 1 month, and then I don't have to work the rest of the year. Well, that's not really true. Haunting is kind of a part-time job year-round, and then a full-time job, you know, plus in the month of October, and then it drops off again. So it's very seasonal. It's very cyclical. Most people that own haunted houses have day jobs, you know, some other kind of income that they use to support their haunting habit. Because while it does make good money for a short term, or it can make good money in the short term, doesn't always make enough money for you to support yourself that way. But there are a lot of easier ways to make a living. You know, I would have been better off financially if I had remained an architect and not gone into the haunted house industry. But I would have been an also-ran. No one would know my name. I don't know if I would have been a famous architect. But I'm pretty well known in the haunted house industry. So even though it's kind of a small pond, at least I'm a big, the size of my fish is bigger compared to the pond than it would have been if I'd have stayed being an architect. Working for yourself is a lot of fun. You set your own hours. You work when you want to, you don't when you don't. So that's the biggest part for me, is to be able to, you know, to do what I love doing, and do it what I want to, and not have to listen to anybody. It makes it hard, though. Being self-employed is difficult because, it's like I said, it's very seasonal. So by the middle of October, by the early October, I'm done. All my clients are up and operational, and then I'm going around to see what everybody else is doing. But I'm also looking for work, so it's a constant battle of finding clients, you know, meeting deadlines, and getting the stuff done on time, you know, making sure that you're not starving between the ebbs and flows of income.
So you mentioned that this is like a disease, like it's terminal and you can't get rid of it. I liked that analogy, but if you could go back and change your job, would you?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I kind of pondered on that for quite a while. I don't think I would. You know, I would love to go back knowing what I know now, and being able to fix those mistakes that I've made throughout my lifetime, throughout my career. But I think I would still take the path. I mean, to me, you know, life is kind of like a card game. I mean, you have to play the hand that you're dealt. And in many ways, if I look back on my career and follow what happened, everything seemed to be the logical step from what I knew at the time, from what I had available at the time. So it all just kind of fell into place. I'm a true believer that things happen for a reason, that there, you know, I don't know if there's some kind of plan, but there are things that come up in life it's just going to be obvious to you that this is the direction that I need to take. I was much more black and white when I was younger. I'm kind of more of a gray guy now, but But it was every decision that I made at the time seemed like, you know, there was no other way to do what I did. Again, I would go back and say, you know, this is a red flag. You shouldn't have done that. But I think I would do it again. I think I love what I do. I'm certainly not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a roof over my head and I get to work for myself and scare people all over the world.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you. This was a really interesting one because I'm a big fan of horror and being scared. So I definitely learned a lot. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Let me know if I can help you with another interview.
Who knew all the things that went into a haunted house? I think a haunted house is a great analogy for our lives as teenagers. We're facing unknown, scary things from left, right, above, and below. Like Mr. Leonard said, there will be reasons to not choose a job, but sometimes when you find something you're passionate about, you got to go for it. No ordinary person could step out on faith and go for something that may scare them to death, but then again, show me a normal teenager. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you like Gracie Meets, subscribe so you can listen every time a new episode is dropped. And follow Gracie Meets on Instagram @gracie.meets. Tune in next Saturday for a wild interview with a farrier.